Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Bacon Psychic Hour. We have a caller. We're here to take your calls, as usual. And we're going to be doing so shortly. But for those of you who haven't had the courage to dial in, 914-338-0164 is the call number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We appreciate your support on our social media sites, which are Facebook and X, formerly known as Twitter. And I will be posting, hopefully, to that site as well as the others. I've got to share our announcements to our other channels. I want to remind everyone that we are amongst the top 80 podcasts on the internet, according to FeedSpot. So not only are we in the top 80, but we are 8th in position. Seated by shows on NPR. What are the other shows? I don't even remember.
I know there's quite a number of sites where those sites.
Podcasts.
In the top.
In the top, but in this particular, on the 80, it's a hodgepodge of different types of podcasts. It's not just psychic podcasts, and we happen to be the only psychic podcast that is on there, which leads me to question why we aren't number one in their other, on their other list, because if we're the only psychic podcast on FeedSpot's list of 80 top podcasts, why aren't we number one? But anyway.
Different lists have different arrangements of evaluation.
I guess. But anyway, you may check it out.
Yeah, that's good news.
Good news. Anything else? I guess that's it. All right, 630. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing out there with all the floods?
Well, it's drier. It's not dry. It's wet, but it's not raining today.
Okay, that's good.
So we're not...
So we're saved, no damage.
We are saved. We've been saved. No damage. I mean, our particular arrangement, we have a situation in our backyard where we're prone to the water accumulating. And so because of the way the backyard's arranged, there's been water that's come in the house on prior rain events. And so getting that water scooped out, unfortunately, I'm not strong enough to do it. Neil's like using this
I don't know. Did you guys get rain?
In Florida?
I'm not in Florida.
I mean, North Carolina?
No.
Anyway, we were able to avoid.
We were just bombarded with it. We just were, it was like a flood. And homes were destroyed. There were mudslides. Multi-million dollar homes were destroyed due to mud and rain. People drowned, trees fell. I mean, it was amazing the amount of rain that fell.
It was continuous, and then it would go, I mean, you know, be continuous rain, and then like deluge of rain.
But we're okay.
I'm glad you're okay.
I like the rain. I mean, we like the rain, but it's just that much all at once is kind of difficult to deal with if you're trying to avoid floods. But I mean, luckily we're not in the, you know, on a side of a mountain or whatever.
Listen, I want to ask you a question, Dion. Did you do anything recently with a picture or a painting?
Oh my God. This lady's mom was moving out, and I just talked about it with the neighbors this morning. So this lady who had dementia moved out, and her daughter was here, and I was always nice to her mom, so she was so, like, always happy to see me. She gave me a painting that she hand-painted, and I was just bragging about it this morning at breakfast. I was like, you wouldn't believe this picture I got. Like, this lady hand-painted it and so professional, and she gave it to me. I just felt so lucky. It's on my wall. It's all flowers.
Yeah. Okay. So, in other words, that's a psychic vibration that was received and then translated and validated. But what it ultimately means is that you're in for a kind of a blessing. A spirit is going to be doing something with you in the future. I don't know when or where, but the validation itself is a landmark towards that statement.
Wow. Thank you.
Is there another reason you're calling?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so yesterday I spotted this car, and I know I have the PTSD, but I can't help it. There was this car that I've seen before in the no parking zone, which is in front of my apartment, and it was a lady typing on her laptop computer and her phone at the same time, and I felt like she was doing surveillance. So actually, my neighbor Judy was over there, and so I asked her, I'm like, Judy, what's that person doing over there? Because everybody knows nobody should be parking there, you know. This is the second time that Subaru has been there, okay? So right away I go towards illegal surveillance or under surveillance. I don't know if it was illegal, but that's what I go towards. So I get really nervous because I'm like, now what? You know, so I just wanted to find out if you were picking up that that person was here because of me or just because they were looking for a place to
park,
type on their computer. Yeah, they could have just.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like, you know, my vibe personally is not that it's connected to like Aaron Carter. I don't get that vibe. I feel like this is someone working on their computer and parked in that spot. If we go over to why you might be monitored otherwise, which would be your like disability insurance. Your family, but I don't think it's your family. I mean, if you were being monitored at all, the Social Security disability, because they do. I was told that they don't have the budget to watch. When you're on Social Security disability, the government does not send out people to surveil you. It's actually only private insurance companies that do disability, because you can purchase private disability insurance. They're the ones that go and monitor people.
They don't really send out anybody. I mean, you'd have to be reported by people. People would have to make formal reports. They just don't have the manpower, the woman's power.
But that's the thing. Like this place that I live, how everybody just kind of like talks about each other and behind each other's back. Like today, the owner of the building is going to be here. But no, they say that so-and-so's reporting you, so-and-so's reporting you.
Yeah,
and so that's why I'm like,
it's more than just reporting and gossip. They don't send people out. there would have to be some serious
violation.
And then your insurance company would have to get involved. I mean,
but she's
answered every call that came in with people talking about people, they just don't have the
manpower. And we're not talking about a private insurance company. We're talking about the federal government. The federal government is, I don't think, concerned with your small stipend that you get every month from your disability. And you're legitimately disabled and you're not violating in any way. There's nothing that's triggering them that would trigger them to do that. And as I was told by someone who has knowledge in this area, the federal government doesn't do it. It's only the private insurance companies that sends out spies to see if you're, working outside when you say you have a back injury or, partying.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's someone sitting in their car, probably using a spot for them, for their convenience. It's rude to park in a no parking spot. I don't understand why they do that, but I think it's just a random person probably finishing up paperwork for their job. I mean,
okay,
paperwork on the computer.
You don't pick up like any of the neighbors still with that, the BS, right? You don't pick nothing?
What do you mean? What? Pick up neighbors what?
It's just they're always, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like a chaotic environment where they're like always trying to say like this neighbor snitching on me or where I'm like, but I don't do anything wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like I would ignore
that gossip. Who cares? I mean, people talk. I just ignore it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let it bother you. You know,
as we said on the phone last time we talked, the only people that are problem are Ron and Karen, right? Ron and Karen?
Kathy.
Oh, Kathy.
But Karen could be too, because you just said her name. She could be too.
No, I don't know. I didn't even know there was a – I mean, I thought Kathy was Karen. I made a mistake. I didn't know there was a Karen as well. So I don't think that because I said the name Karen, that Karen's against you. But if there's only two people that are troublemakers and everybody else likes you, there's nothing to worry about. They made you activities director. Why worry?
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
Take advantage. Heed my advice. Take advantage of the time that you have with you've got everything paid for right now, Dion. Just enjoy what you've got and then build from there.
Okay. And I want to give you confirmation. I remember one of the prior readings, and I don't remember when because I call you so constantly, but Neil said that I was prone to being attacked. And when I was in high school, I took my little sister to the mall because I had to babysit her, and I was jumped by a bunch of girls and they cut my hair. And I'm like, oh, my God, I remember that happened. I'm like, I mean, I know I've been attacked other times in my life, too. But, I mean, I was also attacked when I was in second grade on the playground. And it was like, yeah, I never even thought about it like that until after it was brought up on your show.
Yeah, I mean, the karma, we come in with a strange world of karma. And sometimes that goes back to a past life where we did wrongs. Now we come back and we're trying to, we're in a different mindset. We're not the person we were, but we have to face some residual karma. So you might have jumped somebody in a past life, lynched somebody, who knows?
That's why you're back in the
whatever you did in a past life. When these things occur out of the blue, you can say, well, okay, in a deeper book of equations, I'm making the karma's coming back and I'm just supposed to keep restoring my higher spirit and getting, okay. So that's why you never get away with doing bad crime. Somewhere in the next one, you'll get it if you don't get it in media karma. And I would just say, let those things pass. And the gossip,
who cares?
You can't help. Gossip has been around since the beginning of time. Eve gossiped about the serpent. Everybody gossips.
Well, you think at this point, these people, age would have grown out of being gone.
Yeah.
But no, they're in this, I mean, they're in a, you know, social environment in the apartment complex. And
unless you're, you know, putting on a roof or drilling a hole in the street with a heavy equipment, I wouldn't worry about it. You're allowed to pick up the paper. You're allowed to cut a weed.
Well, she got in trouble. Like, she put Valentine's Day decorations outside her door. And the property manager, Dion, the maid take them. Yeah, she made her take decorations down. I mean, but ridiculous. The decorations, I saw the picture of. I mean, why can't she?
Well,
it's ridiculous.
They don't want to set a trend where you're putting things up that could lead to statements.
You know,
so what?
Yeah.
While she was parked in the fire lane. Her car was parked in the fire lane, and then she tells me to take down, decorations that I have outside. It's like, okay.
Oh.
But yeah, well, I mean, I complied right away. I immediately took it down, and I will not, I won't put it back up. It's fine. I don't have a problem with complying.
That's your best choice. And then don't carry it around in your head. Just let it go. You shouldn't clutter your head with every little
thing
that
happens.
People do, or what's going to happen is your brain's going to start to morph, and who knows what? You'll grow a tumor the size of the trunk.
The problem is
you don't want to get into all that.
No,
I would just let it go.
Right, and just try to occupy yourself with something else, because if you're worrying about what the neighbors are thinking, and that's a current obsession or fixation, that tells me you've got too much time on your hands. And they all do. They all do, because they're retired.
Right. It's like, it's not like that. It's like, I'll go upstairs to do my laundry, and then, they'll be like, so-and-so reported you to the office because you did a text message. Yeah, and... I was looking for napkins and paper plates for one of the events. And then, they started yelling at me, saying I was bullying them. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you guys having senior moments? I was literally looking for paper plates and napkins. Like,
yeah.
But they're from a different generation, so I get it, I guess.
Yeah, just focus more on the painting that came in. Was that a neighbor who gave you a painting?
It was the daughter of my neighbor, yeah. She was moving her stuff out because the mom had to go into a memory care facility. But,
I was so
happy.
I would put that on the equation, neighbors being nice, not neighbors being negative. And just it came in through vibration, I would just look at the positive side of the fence and
worry about these two. The two people are, small, well, big fish in a small pond, but I don't even think they're really big fish in this pond. You know, they're just complainers, and most everybody likes you there. So focus on that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
Do you have other callers?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, good. Okay, one more then.
Go ahead.
Good for me.
Good for you.
Okay. I can ask you one more question.
Yeah, you can.
I went to another bankruptcy lawyer yesterday, and he was he's like, if I were you, I really wouldn't do anything. And he goes,
really?
Why spend the money to file when they can't do anything to you? He goes, they could try to sue you, but they can't collect. You know, and he's like, if you want to build your credit back, sure, spend the money, file the bankruptcy, move on. But you also might be able to, in time, pay it back. He's like, I just don't think that you should file right now. He goes, what I would do if I were you is I'd focus on your health and get yourself better and worry about the bills after you are done with your surgery and everything else. He's like, yeah, this is really not a big deal.
So this is what I want to tell you, is that one of our other callers has been a financial advisor in the past, and she stated that she didn't think you had enough debt to file, and she recommended after you saw this,
she recommended what? I'm sorry.
Not filing.
Okay. So then hopefully I'll just be able to work my way out of the debt over time. I mean, it wasn't something
you can always
really
file.
Could avoid.
You can always file too, you know, instead of making that decision to file. And that's a stress. You're going to put yourself through stress filing. You have to ensure. Stop that. Behave, Neil. sorry. Putting yourself through the stress of bankruptcy while you're doing the surgery and trying to get yourself still settled because you're relatively new at this place you're living in. As long as it doesn't affect your voucher and what you're getting, then I don't see anything wrong with holding off on filing and just seeing if you are able to pay it back eventually. The only thing about bankruptcy that's nice is it wipes it out, so you don't have to worry about it. That's the only thing. And you don't have to pay it back. But it's a big impact on your credit. So it's true. Maybe your credit would be less impacted if you didn't file.
I mean, I might be able to pay it back in time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or you can pay small payments toward it now. I mean, if they'll give you some kind of deal like they offered you before and say, this is what I can afford on a monthly basis. I don't know if there's really any room you have to spend money on paying off debt at this point, because your disability money isn't like that much money. But,
no, and I'm still, like, trying to get caught up with, like, I am going to get my hair cut. Last time I got my hair cut was July.
Hmm. Yeah, well.
So, like, I need to, like, even, like, just do, like, personal things like that. Like, go get my hair cut. I have to save money for Cupid's vet bills, even though he's doing fine. But, like, what, in the past, what, 45 days, it's been, what, like, $400 or $500 at the vet. That's a lot.
That's a big hit. Yeah. That's a lot. And you've run out of options as far as getting vet bills paid for, right?
Yeah. I've exhausted resources. You know, so I do have to save, though, because God forbid if something happens to him and he's got to be rushed to the hospital, that's going to be a lot. You know, so I don't want to be caught, you know, without being able to provide care for him. I mean, obviously I'm not wishing that on him, but I have to be prepared at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you still have time before you jump to bankruptcy. It has its advantages, but then, you know, in lines of credit,
I mean, she's not going to get credit right now either with all this debt. She's not going to have credit. She doesn't have credit. Her creditors have cut her off. So what she has to work with is her cash on hand. That's it. But it's better not to charge if you don't have the money to pay it off.
You know, the thing about it is these people, if they know you're not making a vast amount of income, there's little they can do. They really can't do anything. So they try to work out a program for you. But to pay it back. And
Do you feel like I'll be able to pay it back?
What are you, like $30,000 in debt?
Yeah, about 27.
Like 27.
Well, you think that's a big amount. It really isn't.
It isn't compared to like
it
some
really
people are like $100,000 in debt.
Statistic wise, it's not a vast amount. You know, if you're poor, it seems like a lot of money. But $27,000 in debt is not, I mean, it's not nothing, but on a percentage wise, I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. And if you make some payments and show you're in good faith with it, even if you make a little payment, that's at least, you know, showing that you're doing something, not ignoring them. So you might want to make small payments, very small, and say that's all I can afford, but I'm doing it in good faith. And, you know, that they have little argument with that because they look at your income. They can only siphon so much. And, you know, you're not in a court system. We're going to take everything away from you. So I wouldn't worry about it that much. And whatever you can afford, $10, whatever you can afford, just to show you're paying it off. Is it all consolidated into one?
No,
No.
You can't. You have, consolidation is a totally different deal. That requires that consolidation. That costs money.
So, well, you know.
I'm not even interested. I called a couple of places and they just, I just didn't get a good feeling. So I'd rather do what you're recommending and just pay a little by little by little until it's paid off.
Yeah, if you pay a little by little, and you're doing it in good faith, that you're not just thumbing your nose at them, that could save you from having to file for bankruptcy. And there's nothing they can do. They show you're making an effort. And they look at your, you know, they know what you make, and that's it. That, you know, they'll take it. So that's what I would do if I were you. And then that might at least ease your tension a little bit. And again, I wouldn't lose sleep over $27,000. It seems like a lot of money, but in the long run, $27,000 a year is still considered somewhat poverty. That's about $2,000 a month. And that would be considered poverty level almost. So it's not a big amount. You make a little bit of effort and showing good faith. And if they say, well, can you do more? You just say, no, this is all I can do. And if they say, well, we have a scale, you know, our minimum payment is 25. Just say, I can't afford that. But in good faith, I can do 10. And that's it. And I think you'll be okay. And as far as paying, the future is not a closed future. Will you be able to pay it off? Possibly. Your future isn't closed. We're not at the end of your line of making money. So some of this is about self-discovery, self-improvement, self-creativity, which you still have an open door towards. I mean, you're not, you know, what? You have another 30 plus years left of life. So in terms of trying to make money, that's your adventure. Do what you can, accept the journey, and see how you can be. Don't sweat about it. You're not going to die doing this. You know, live for each moment. Don't fret each moment.
I like that. Thank you.
Well, why worry?
Now, I got to go. I have a psychiatrist appointment. I'm considered to be schizophrenic and highly paranoid, so I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know. I walked out for a minute. I don't know what I missed. What did I miss?
I was just telling Dion about her poverty. That $27,000 a year would be considered almost poverty. Now it's about $2,000 a month, and her debt is not. It's not a great debt. She's not in great debt. So paying it off, $5-$10, it shows in good faith that you're making an effort. And that's all you need to do, Dion. You don't need, I just wouldn't worry about it.
How many creditors do you have, like 3 to 5?
I think it's like 7 because
really?
The LLC. Yeah, and he even said, don't worry about them suing the LLC because that's like collecting from a dead person. He's like, we're about that one last. He goes, that's the one that you don't even need to worry about, actually. He goes, who cares?
So more
he's
like
literally like, who cares? I'm like, wow, I'm like, I've never spoke to an attorney that was like that. I'm like, he was.
Well, yeah, because he was ethical and didn't, you know, he wasn't looking at his what he could gain from you. Even though, you know, bankruptcy attorneys don't make that much off each client, but I mean, it's volume. They do lots of bankruptcies, and it's like, what, 3,000 to file bankruptcy? I mean, that's what you end up paying an attorney.
The lowest quote that I got was $1,398.
So, yeah, I mean, so $1,398, $3,000, they're not like big ticket attorneys, so they do volume. And volume is important to them, so they're going to want to convince, most attorneys are going to want to convince a potential client that they need to file for bankruptcy. This guy really had your best interest in mind, not his pocketbook.
Now, in spite of what Dante said about attorneys being on that they, when they die, their souls go to one of the lowest levels of hell, there are good attorneys and ethical attorneys. A lot of good attorneys, they're in it because they love their work and they don't really need the money, and they can evaluate a person where a person's at. And to them, they feel good about giving good advice. That's what their DNA says to do. And they're just not about every penny. So, you know, there's good attorneys out there, well-meaning attorneys.
And she's
attorneys
obviously encountered one.
Work. But there are plenty of, and there's plenty of corrupt attorneys. But this guy seemed to be, you know, I don't need your money. I'm going to give you a fair amount of advice, and it makes him feel good, and hopefully it made you feel good.
Everyone feels good. Okay. It's a feel good party. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you.
No.
No. Were you? Did you ever talk about the spirit? Or the animals and the spirits. I tried to listen back to your shows, but I never heard any discussion about it. Remember that one time you were talking about Callie and interacting with the spirits, and I said, oh, yeah, Fergie and Cupid did that one time. But then you never talked about it.
Well, she actually did it last night, in fact. She's been doing it every night last two nights.
You know, cats have a kind of a more unique eyesight range than dogs. Dogs, cats have a certain ability
to sense the sixth sense,
to acquire the sixth sense.
Yeah,
and they have even a more acute ability to see things in the dark. I mean, they have an amazing when it's dark, they can see fine details. It's like you're in the daytime. Now, they don't have a wide range of color, but they do have a specific lens in whatever they had got in the eye.
That allows them to see great detail in the dark. But this was in the light. But anyway.
Yeah. And so animals are very attuned to two things. They're very attuned to the energy of the earth. They know when it's going to rain. They know when there's an earthquake. They understand the earth's vibration, and they're very attuned to it because most animals are very low to the ground, and they spend their life connected to the earth. Whereas we get in cars and we live in homes, and we just don't have that primitive quality. We've lost that primitive quality about ourselves. And you have to remember that most life came from the sea or from the trees. And it was only due to maybe atmospheric or catastrophic situations where animals began to walk upright or place their feet on the ground and start to vibrate with the earth. So they have this great vast intelligence about the movement and vibration of the earth. And it translates in their body as messages. So they understand the message of the planet. On the other hand, they also have a brain equipped that they can understand the energy of the astral realm. So their senses are very acute, and then therefore they're able to transcend the physical range of the universe and probe deeply into the astral realm and thereby perceive, hear, I mean, if you just
well, maybe we should have them do readings on the show. I mean, given their, I mean,
if you just a dog or a cat can hear your car 2 miles away, they know they can hear things we don't hear, and they can see things we don't necessarily see. But if an animal, and it goes for the same as wild animals, if they can, a shark can smell blood miles away. If animals can sense things beyond the human ear, and then they're equipped with this special primitive brain that they have not evolved from, then they're more connected to the sense of creation and the cosmos in the beginning, before the beginning of time.
It's so weird because Callie was just reading the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Just 2 days ago, I think.
I saw that. She was, got stuck on Noah's Ark.
Yeah,
training.
Exactly.
So they can see and feel and sense things. That's why wizards usually have cats or owls in their pictures.
Well, owls are very
or witches have cats. Cats are also...
Well, see, I'm a witch, and I've got cats. Neil's a wizard.
She got stung by a bee, so she's bewitched.
Oh, God.
But the... But you see, the idea, too, was that cats ventured into the underworld at night, that when they left the house, there was a theory that, well, they go into the underworld, they go into the astral realm, and then the Egyptians even equipped their cats to die with them and be entombed with them, embalmed with them, because the idea would be that the cat would be able to leave their soul through the underworld and not get lost. So there's a special energy field. They say that when a dog howls at the moon, that they're howling for the representative spirit of all dogs. And there's even a theory behind that in terms of fable. So when we have this attitude,
the
moon is connected.
The collective unconscious of all dogs is the howl.
And, you know, the moon is really a piece of the earth. Because of the asteroid that hit, it came from a planet. So it provided for itself and its situation a certain balance where it guides the gravity and the tides, and it balances our planet. So when we have that energy going on, and we talk about the spirit of animals, yes, indeed, they have a special chamber, a special corridor or portal that they can see, whereas human beings may not be able to see it because we've been so sophisticated with things outside of our brain that we rely on, that we've lost that ability.
But a caveat, I mean, we, Callie and Olive, are distinctly different, I think, than the average domestic cat. And the reason they're in our life, our life together is not because they're just domestic cats that we happen to rescue. There's a deeper connection they have to the astral realm. They're from the astral realm, in fact. And that's why at least Callie is highly attuned to spirits. I mean, Olive is a totally different cat. And Callie seems to be more interested in interacting like with what she sees on the wall. Olive's just intelligent all around. You know, she's an exceptional cat, but I don't think all cats, I mean, you know, if you go to a scientist's house, their cat may have, a scientist's cat may have, you know, higher ability to perceive, yes, because the cat is a cat, but the cat may not be as connected to the astral realm as compared to cats that's parents are psychics.
Yeah.
I didn't know that the moon was from the earth. I thought the moon was connected to the earth, but I didn't know that they were once one.
Well, there's a... there's a general theory that the moon was produced by a huge asteroid hitting a planet. Now, most scientists contend that it was the Earth. Some scientists say it was maybe another planet in the galaxy. But yeah, that's where the moon is actually. The general consensus is that the moon was a part of the Earth. Asteroid hit it, and the rocks and everything formed into the moon. They just did some gravitational pull, magnetic pull, it just formed into the moon. Some critics say, well, it came from Mars or some other planet and it drifted. But no, that's where the moon originated from, according to science. If you look it up, you'll see it.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't look it up in DC Comics. Or, you know, you got to look it up in a scientific journal.
Okay.
So, you know, what it actually means is that we live in reflection. Everything about the world has a certain reflection or duality to it. And that terminology, then we are a part of the universe. We're a part of every living form on the planet.
God
even
forbid.
In our development, we go through several
embryonic stages
of animal forms.
Well, I don't want to be connected to everybody on the planet, but
we had to, some people say, well, some alien form dropped off two human beings on the planet, and that's how we came here. But then where did they come from? You know, where is the end of the image? If you look in two opposing mirrors, you're going to see the image of yourself in two affinity. And that attitude is that every lifetime we have is tucked into our bodies. And also what's tucked into our bodies is the existence of all time and space, because we are this cellular energy of dust that could have been cosmic dust that formed our own planet. So our own planet came from a world that was beyond itself.
Right. So, and if we're talking about alien life form starting the planet, two aliens were dropped off. Where did they come from? The celestial realm, the realm that Christ was from, because Christ himself said he was not of this world. So Christ was an alien. Was his kingdom of angels alien?
You know,
and were those fallen
God,
fallen angels that
even
were
in the, if you
Adam
ascribe
and
to the Bible, God says, you know, if Adam and Eve should become like one of us, you know, there are many gods.
Well, Adam and
obviously.
Eve,
even God admitted.
Adam and Eve, I mean, people theorize that they were fallen angels. What was their origin? I mean, is the origin of angels alien life?
Yeah, it's a weird...
It's hard to say.
Know, our brains won't be able to comprehend the full extent.
Exactly, because it's
the
layered.
The Bible's full of contradictions itself. You know, if God is omniscient, why did he know that Eve was going to do what she did? And why did he have to ask questions? And why did he appear so shocked? And why did he... How would he know that Adam was lonely? Adam wouldn't have any idea
of
loneliness.
Well, I mean, you know who is the God.
You know,
who
why
is,
would he say it's good that Adam is alone?
Who is God? I mean, who is
so,
God? Who is the God that
those,
we worship? The God of the earth? I mean, is there two gods? Or are there more than one God? God of the earth? God is the God of the earth evil?
So
in
when, you,
with
yeah,
Satan,
when you get into, you know, when
you start to think
when
about
you get
all
into
of
those
this.
More controversial issues without...
Or,
to be,
or controversial,
antithetical to God,
controversial
so,
issues.
It just opens up the mind to a broader range of analysis, without saying you're an atheist or you're anti this or anti that. The questions we have in terms of the vast universe can be inclusive of controversy.
You know what this is making me really, really focus on and I mean, internalize deeply is that I want to go shopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go shopping, everybody.
I can always rely on you for the deeper stuff.
Yes. Let's go shopping in color paint.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, that, we have a question from the...
I don't know, Dion, if you want to respond.
We have a question for Dion from the chat.
Okay.
Have you ever gone to church? I don't know why the chatter is asking this.
Oh, are you kidding? My grandmother was hardcore Roman Catholic. Stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel, sit. Yeah, the amen bench my whole life. I just haven't gone recently because I can't stand, kneel, or sit long enough to get to a service.
Because you're a sinner.
I can't do that right now. I can't get up and down and all that during the Catholic ceremony as much.
I don't think that if you go to a church without kneelers, you just stand and sit. There's no kneeling.
Well, now I'm really confused because that's what I did with Jack LaLanne.
Okay. But yes, that was the question.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why? Well, I know all about it. I know all about it.
But I never heard that Adam and Eve could have been aliens or fallen angels. Did you say angels or fallen angels?
Fallen angels. Fallen angels. But then if Christ was not as... What I'm saying is if Christ was not of this earth and Christ had a kingdom of angels, the celestial kingdom, was Christ an alien, and were those angels of alien substance? And if they fell from grace, Adam and Eve, which they did, and they were placed on the planet because they were cast out of the celestial world, were they actually fallen angels who were previously, I mean, who were also of alien substance? Because if Christ was not of this earth, I mean, you know, the celestial substance or alien substance or both. He's from another planet, probably.
Ooh, never even thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, when you start to think about, the Old Testament and Genesis and how the earth came to be and what happened in the Garden of Eden, the Tree of Life and the Tree of Knowledge, it's very interesting because of the contradictions. There's a lot of food for thought when you start analyzing it. So that's something you could do.
Yeah.
Read Genesis
yeah.
and start to question what you're reading.
No, I'm already reading all the books that are on your list, and then I want to be able to get Neil's book, one of them. I'm just going to start with one of them on my Kindle.
You know what I mean?
Because I know I'm going to have a lot of time to read.
I suggest getting, like, Pieces of Humanity and Wimbledon. A Piece of Humanity is, like, Wimbledon's going to be tough. That's a tough one. But Pieces of Humanity is light and... It's a fairy tale, or the short stories.
Well, I mean, if you want to be challenged, and you're ready to meet the universe at large, I would say Occultus League.
Yeah, but she's not going to read
that. That's a dense book.
She's not going to read
it.
It's 900 pages.
You'd probably get lost in it.
You're going to get lost in it. Anybody
well,
would.
I tried to research that one, and I felt like it was way over my head right now.
Yeah, I think it's way over your head right now.
You could also try Rose Emerald.
Rose Emerald's beautiful writing, but it's hippie. I mean, you might like Rose Emerald, but I mean, it's seriously like even...
Rose Emerald would be more like the Earth Goddess and mythology and hippies and... time travel and the discussion between mysticism and religion, talking dogs and...
Yeah, you might like that.
You know,
but it's that. I mean, there's...
You know, that might be... You might want to try that.
But the short stories are easy and not easy, but the short stories are actually a collection. There's some really nice short stories. And they're... I mean, you could like read a short story, you know, every night before bed, for example, and get a a variety of of styles, because they're not all written in the same style.
Which
and they're
one
a little
the
bit more
stories one?
Future. The future of zero tolerance is the short stories, and it's a big book too. I mean, God, I think it's probably over 400 pages.
Well, I like Kindle, so as long as it's on Kindle.
Yeah, they're all on Kindle.
That'll be good. Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time, and stay safe, and say hi to the cats, the girls, Olive and Callie.
I will say hi to Cupid.
Send us a picture of that painting, especially if there's more than three flowers in it.
You know what? It's got, it's more than three flowers. And it also has one butterfly. And what's unique about the butterfly being there is that the whole Justice for Aaron movement uses a blue butterfly emoji. So, like, every time we post something for Aaron, we post the blue butterfly, you know, and hashtag Justice for Aaron. And the butterfly is blue in this painting.
Well, you know, the butterfly really represents morphing through time, because it's the butterfly was a worm, then it goes into a cocoon, and it comes out a butterfly. So that's representative of the journey of the soul, and how vast and dramatic our transformations are in time. You know, even within our own lifetime, how we age. If you compare a picture of a person at 80 to when they were 18, to when they were 8,
or to when they were 8 months.
Person. But somebody from another planet who didn't know about aging would think they were three separate people.
You know, I feel like you told me about this picture, but I don't find anything in
it. I posted it on Facebook. It on Facebook. I was like, oh, look at what my neighbor gave me.
That's why. Because this was familiar to me, this whole thing. Hold on. I don't know. I'm scrolling through all your posts. There's a shoe. There's a dog. There's a Simpsons.
Let me just see if I can message it to you, because otherwise, because I post so many dog things.
Well, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw that. What are you doing? Neil, come on. You don't know how to operate the phone.
Oh, and the lady who actually signed it is Karen Guy.
Karen. Oh.
There's another Karen.
Karen, that's what, I said Karen.
Well, it looks more like a bird than a butterfly, what I'm seeing in the white formation. It looks more like a bird. But, you know, the painting is somewhat reminiscent of maybe a Hawaiian painting or maybe a Monet, because of the colorization of the flowers. It's got a certain
neo-expressionism
in it, but it also has this vague, underlying impression of birds, abstractions that you formulate through the use of brushstroke and color. But that would be a bird, not a butterfly.
Let me see.
It looks more like a bird, almost looks like a flying fish.
Why do I have to take off my glasses, my new glasses, to be able to see close up? Aggravating. Well, no, it looks like a butterfly to me.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think that's a butterfly. It's a butterfly.
That's a butterfly?
Yeah, look, it's a butterfly.
Where?
Right there.
Well, I'm not talking about that.
Well, that's what she's talking about.
Oh yeah, that's a butterfly. That's a butterfly. But this here is a bird.
I wasn't looking. I was looking for the butterfly. Oh yeah, I see the bird. The bird, but just the bird's like in a white.
Top and almost looks like a stork.
Yeah, he's looking at the viewer of the painting.
Yeah, I see that now.
And then there's two faces. So you see the faces up here?
Yeah, she did a few things with the, whether consciously or not, but she did a few things with the
paresthesia, is it? You know, when you see
images. I see the butterfly. The butterfly was deliberate. I mean, it's deliberate butterfly. But the attitude of spiritual energy, meaning that large bird that's on the viewer's left side of the painting, almost in the middle of the canvas, would indicate more or less the bird, you know, birds descending, doves descend from heaven. There's all kind of attitude in terms of spiritual connection. But the painting, aside from the darkness of the canvas, the painting has a somewhat of a Hawaiian nature to it.
That's cool.
And what's also cool is that Jennifer has admitted she has lost our bet from how many years ago, Jennifer, was it? Jennifer? I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? So she's going to be sending us some burners. But she can't find the glass bottles.
Oh.
But she needs to find the glass bottles.
Yeah, the cans aren't the same.
So
well, we've come
we'll
to
help
the end
you.
Of our show.
We'll help you find those glass bottles, Jennifer. okay.
Well, Dion, you got an hour.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all your time, all of your energy, and all of your advice, and all of your psychic predictions and everything. I hope you have a great day.
Okay. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, we're back on duty on Friday. I think it's going to be 9 a.m. again, right? I don't know what we're doing next week. Next week is a busy week. We have a very busy week. And Wednesday is Valentine's Day. So we might have to abridge our show schedule in some manner or other. We might do a Monday show and a Friday show. I don't know. But we have, like, all these appointments next week. So we are on this Friday, though, at 9. Until then, bye.